Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I wanted to share, I shared on Wednesday night just a slight introduction at our midweek study here in the sanctuary, just kind of share the introduction of what I would be speaking about today from God's Word. And if I had to title it, you know, it can be a little deceiving just in a title, but the title should probably read, When God Says No. When God Says No. And to put it in context, it's not just about, the do's and don'ts of biblical morality and character and ethics, but it has to do with when you and I feel like we have come up with a really good idea, a great idea. We kind of work our way around the idea and think, you know, this could be really beneficial to the Lord, beneficial to other people, and I think I've got pretty good motives in it, and so, you know what? We should probably do it. And, of course, the justifying statement that we hear on a regular basis is, well, I prayed about it, so therefore, it's going to be okay. As if just because we talk to the Lord about it, that He grants us His approval. And when we sometimes feel like we've got a good idea, or we volunteer ourselves, or we want to do something, we think that the answer should always be yes. And it's just kind of the perspective we come from when we think this is something that's good, or this is something that could be great or beneficial. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. I mean, we understand that in our personal lives and the way we live and the way our conduct and character based upon the nature of Christ and God and His Word, those of us who know to do the right thing, we should do the right thing when it comes to how we conduct ourselves and the attitude we should have. That is not up for, discussion. That's absolute, okay, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. I'm talking about this morning in the sense of having an idea, and even for some of us, and it's happened to me, and I know it's happened to many of you, that there is even something we feel or sense like the Lord spoke to us about, or He gave us a dream, or it was prophesied by someone, or there was a general prophecy that took place, but you feel like the Holy Spirit brought that prophecy and it was just for you. Or there were some things that you said, well, if you want me to do this, Lord, give me a sign. You know, when we do a Gideon kind of thing where, you know, make the fleece wet and the grass dry and the grass filled with dew but the fleece dry, and if you can do these things, Lord, and give me a sign that I'm supposed to do this, then I'll go and do it, and I'll see it as that's a good idea, and God gives the approval. And then sometimes when it doesn't happen or there's opposition, we start to think, well, what's going on? We start to second guess ourselves. Or we start to blame other people as if they got in the way, and don't they understand that God called me to do this? And, doing the will of God sometimes comes easily, and sometimes it comes hard. Sometimes it comes with opposition, and sometimes there's little opposition. And we cannot gauge God's will and purpose based upon how much opposition there is or isn't. We like to do that. We're looking for these outward signs that confirm things. Now, does God use outward signs to confirm His purpose and will? Yeah, of course He does. But not always. And so we kind of get caught in these absolutes. And when you and I come up with a good idea that we think is beneficial, and even if it causes us sacrifice, we think, therefore, it must happen, it's God's will, and everyone should agree with me, and can't they see it like I see it? I want to share with you this morning some things about when God says no. Even in light of feeling like God has called us, or we feel equipped, or we feel like we're ready, and we feel in our estimation that we're qualified to do something, whether it's real public or it's private. And I want you to look this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts, chapter 16. And we're going to look at some other verses and mention some things throughout this morning as we go through this. But in Acts chapter 16, we'll start with verse 6. And this is about the Apostle Paul. He has been saved. He has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he has forsaken his old life. And his name's been changed from Saul to Paul. And he is on his way in ministry and already ministering. And in verse 6 of chapter 16, it says, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia." Now, I want you to catch this. They were wanting to go and take the gospel. That's a good thing, right? Right? Yeah. They were wanting to go and take the word to Asia, and they were prevented from going. Who prevented them? The Holy Spirit forbid them to go and speak the word of God in Asia. Now, that doesn't mean that God didn't care about Asia, but if we were to look at it, we would find out that another apostle went to that region at a different time and carried the gospel there. But at this time, this group with Paul, they were forbidden to speak the word of God in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Now listen, they're on a journey here. They're excited. They're passionate about Christ, about the message of the gospel, about people hearing the gospel, being converted, coming into faith, being disciple, and planting planting churches. This is all good. Their motives are probably very pure. I mean, they're still human and may have some, you know, contamination. They fight from time to time like all of us here do. But you know what? This is a good thing. And they have been, let's face it, they have been called to preach the gospel. I mean, they have a calling and anointing upon their life. And they want to go to another region, and the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, prevents them, doesn't allow it. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, however you want to pronounce it. And a vision appeared. Now get this. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man, this is his vision, a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Well, here's this vision or a dream. And Paul has this. I mean, the Apostle Paul, a man who, you know, has written, you know, basically half the New Testament. I mean, he is a man of God, a chosen vessel, called, appointed, anointed. And he has this experience. And look what happens. "And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought then to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." Did you know that Paul never reaches Macedonia? He doesn't make it. You can read the rest of this as it goes on. There are occasions right there in this short passage about Paul and those who are with him having a great idea. We could call it a godly idea. I mean, you even throw in the spiritual realm aspect of he has a vision. Therefore, it must be from the Lord. And we understand it and believe that he did have a vision. It was from the Lord. And the Lord used the vision maybe differently than what the Apostle Paul intended, because what it did is it kept him preaching there in Asia and on in, I'm sorry, preaching through Asia and on into Europe, is what it did. You know how sometimes those events happen? If I didn't, make this decision, then I wouldn't have met so-and-so. And if I wouldn't have met so-and-so, then this other opportunity would have never come. But initially, we were going this direction, right? Do you ever have that where God swerves you into the truth? And yet you felt called over here? It's not what I wanted to do, not what I felt to do. I never wanted to senior pastor. When I was young, I felt called to ministry. Know that God called me, was affirmed, confirmed, and went through what you have to go through in the way of, you know, education and credentialing and all of these things that are right. And entered into full-time ministry. Never wanted the senior pastor. I didn't want a youth pastor. I ended up youth pastoring different places. And now I've been senior pastoring for almost 20 years, 19 years. So, well, that's kind of you, John. it's not where I wanted to go or where I was heading, but through different ways of him swerving me into the truth, he confirms, he changes our heart, and he begins to do different things, and yet we were walking this direction. But if we would have never made up our mind to walk this direction, certain things wouldn't have unfolded, right? I mean, I believe out of the grace and the mercy of the Lord, I'm in the will of God today in where I'm at and what I'm doing. The Apostle Paul went and had these intentions, good intentions of his heart to go and do this. I want to bring up someone else to you, and I'm going to paraphrase this. I'll let you know where it's at. It's in 2 Samuel, because I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but there's a lot in this story. There's several messages in this passage. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel comes up with this great idea. And he tells Nathan, the prophet, about it. He says, you know, I want to build God a temple. That he would live in a temple. That he would have a magnificent place where he can dwell. Because, you know, God was, you know, basically in, well, we know he's everywhere, but, you know, he was in a tent. You know, traveling as a kind of the leader of the nomad people of God, you know, the Israelites, and through time and all of this, and, you know, the Ark of the Covenant was at a different place, and they wanted to recover the Ark, and all of these things that went on. And David told Nathan, he said, you know what? I want to build God a temple. And he expressed that he has already begun to collect materials and make plans and all of this. And he tells Nathan, and Nathan the prophet says to King David, hey, I'll paraphrase, good idea, do all that you have in mind to do, God will be with you. And they part company, and Nathan goes home, and then the Lord speaks to the prophet. And God says to Nathan, go and tell David he is not to build me a temple. He begins to share as the story goes on. Well, I'll just go to this. Nathan goes back and says, hey, David, pull the plug on this. God doesn't want you to do it. You're not the guy. And David discovers that it is his son Solomon that God has purposed to build him a temple. David's told, no, you are not to do it. I do not qualify you to do it. I do not want you to do it. I have chosen your son to do it. And David is told no. He is prevented by God to do this. And yet, you know, it's really kind of a great idea. I mean, obviously God comes to the place where he's okay with them building him a temple because he says, I have someone chosen to do this, but it's not you. David's response, when you get to verse 18, he starts this prayer, and it's a prayer of gratitude. What happens when you're told no? Do you dig your heels in? Do you get offended? Do you take it personal? Because we talk about God's perfect will, we talk about God's will, we talk about God's plan. We use scripture verses about it. But the moment where God's plan and will is different than yours or mine, how do we respond? What about when we place ourselves under leadership? And we all have leadership over us, all of us do. We answer to people, we answer to somebody, and it's right. And it's a design. Bible talks about leadership. God raised up leadership. All of these things. We all answer to somebody. What about when you feel like you have a great idea and God is for it, and people who you answer to or people in your life don't go along with it or don't think it's right? Or for you at this time, or for you maybe ever. How do you respond to that? You get mad? You get offended? Take your ball and go home? Quit? Speak against them? Get angry? Complain about them? Develop resentment? You know, we use scripture verses like Proverbs 16:9 that says, the heart of a man plans things. We do. We plan things in our heart. We make a way. We come up with an idea, whatever it is. But the second part of that verse says, but the Lord establishes our steps. Now, either we believe this or we don't. In other words, we can make plans, but the Lord is the one that's going to establish our steps and where we're to go. And will we walk along with him if the steps that he's choosing to establish in our life are different than what we planned or what we felt in prayer? We use verses like this out of Proverbs. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, or he will make your paths straight. Listen, just because we have an idea that we present to God that we feel good about, whether he's given us a vision or he hasn't given us anything other than he's listened to us, and we have, you know, we feel like we're committing it to the Lord, therefore, it has to happen. And what happens when we commit our way to him and we look for him to direct our steps? And his steps begin to lead us somewhere else. And we think, this isn't the plan. And we fight about it. We blame other people. We get frustrated with God. We act like he's not hearing. And why isn't he doing this? And we say, we've committed our way to you. Here's the question. Have we really committed our way to him when his way is possibly different than our plans? Because then what's in question is, we haven't really committed our way to Him. We've committed our way to us, and we're trying to get Him to go along with it. What happens when God says no? What happens? How do we act? How do we respond? I love the response of David. He goes into this prayer of gratitude. He accepts the calling because, you know, he could have come back with, listen, I'm king. You have made me king. As far as human authority, he's at the top of the food chain. But he recognizes that he is a servant of God's. Not toting the king crown and robe and ring and badge before heaven. Or saying, I'm going to do this anyhow. I mean, he had the wealth. He had the plan. He has the materials. He's got the labor force. He could have just taken it into his own hands and done it. Correct? But he responds, and he goes into a prayer of gratitude, saying, you're God, and I may agree or disagree with how you look at this, but you're God, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful, and you have always been good, and you have always been faithful, and if the answer is no, I am going to be good with this. David really does commit his way. He wasn't without sin. We know that in his life. But he really did commit his way to the Lord. And the Lord got to choose David's way. The question is, are we allowing the Lord to establish what he wants as our steps? Or are we just trying to slap him on our own plan? And in the end, make it look great and good because we like the idea. And it was maybe we had a great idea. Maybe we had a prosperous idea. Whatever it is. What about when it comes to things in our Christian life and serving in the body of Christ? For some reason, we always feel like in Christendom, the answer should be yes, and we should never be told no. Because we're supposed to be kind and good and everyone, you know, right? We all get told no. I get told no. And, you know, how do we respond? Right away we blame people. Or we play the political card. Because there's so much political stuff around us. Or maybe we've had an experience with politics in our life. And I don't mean necessarily, you know, politics in the way of, you know, municipalities or, you know, county or state or I'm just talking like within, you know, at work or, you know, if you feel like things are political in another arena or whatever it is or at school or, you know, or you've had a taste of it in the church somewhere and, oh, well, it's just politics. I hate politics and God is for politics. And because for somewhere along the line, it wasn't this time necessarily politics, it's that God is saying no. But we like to slap that on there like we got ripped off and we like to blame humanity rather than accepting the fact that maybe God is just saying no to us or no to us at this time for the good that we want to do, from our perspective. We start to read our resume off to God, to people, the people we complain to, because we feel like we were told no, or we weren't allowed to do something, anywhere in our life, church, work, school, wherever. And granted, is there corruption at work around us and in us and even in the church, in people's hearts and minds? Yeah, I understand that. But don't you think God knows how to overcome all that? Doesn't he know how to make a way? Doesn't he know how to take a man who was wrongfully put in prison and all of a sudden bring him to the second highest authority in Pharaoh's kingdom? Right? He knows how to do that. He knows when. I mean, are we really committing our way to him? Or are we just fighting all along the way, proving that when we do this, by the way, we're showing our character, which is proving why we probably shouldn't be doing what we think we're qualified for. We reveal ourselves. What we say and what we do, how we conduct ourselves, just kind of proves that maybe we weren't as ready as we think we are for whatever good idea we want to do or position that we desire or want to hold. You know, Romans chapter 9, Paul writes this, verse 21. He said, does not the potter have the same right, or have the right, to make out of the same lump of clay something for noble use and something for common use? Noble purpose and common purpose. I mean, let's face it, it's within probably all of us that we'd like to be a part of something that's noble. Right? I want to do the big thing. I want to have the big impact. I want, you know, we all have a little bit of that that runs in us. It appeals to our flesh. But there are some things that are just made for common purpose. And boy, am I glad that there are things made for common purpose. My garage has a lot of things in there that are made for common purpose. And I use those things the most, to be frankly honest with you and up front. And I still take care of them, but I'm not afraid to throw them on the workbench. And I'm not afraid for them to get dirty. And they really help get the job done. And then there are things of noble purpose. They're not used sometimes quite as often. Sometimes they are. But you got to be gentle with them. You got to, you know, they're not just always out there. What is covered in my garage? Sue's car? Or is there a blanket over my Harley? See the difference? Car, common use. Run around, grocery getter, we still take care of it. You know, still got to be clean, still got to maintain it, but it's for common use. Throw in the car seats. Will walks in, my grandson. Is he four? I think he's four. Yeah, I'm asking my son, how old's your nephew? I don't know. It's like asking grandpa, how old is he? I don't know, he's this tall. You know, that's how we do things. He walks into the garage, and he's walking towards, not grandma's car, he's, Sue, how old is Will? Is he four? Oh, Justin, you're up there. Yeah, you're the father. You don't know either. No, I don't know. He's about this big. Yeah, so, you know, he's walking towards the motorcycle. I mean, he was asked the other day by his mother, not in front of anyone, just was with Brittany, and says, what do you want to be with when you grow up? He says, I want to be a dad, and I want to be a motorcycle rider like Papa. I have to let him know that you don't get paid for that. You know, that's what he wants to be when he grows up. I'm sure it'll change. He won't always want to be a father. No, I'm kidding. So, anyhow, I don't know if you all got that. It means he's always going to want to ride a motorcycle. Anyhow, okay. So, you know, he's walking towards the motorcycle. It's covered with the blanket. And as he's walking towards the motorcycle, I begin to pick up my pace. He could have walked towards Nona's car, Grandma's car. Yeah, no problem. It's just for common use. But the Harley is, it's for noble purposes. You know, it's just a, and so we look at these things, and there are things like this. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says, a large house has many items, some of gold and silver, which are for noble purposes, and some that are made of wood and clay for common use. Why do we resist and sometimes resent being called to common purpose? Do we feel like we're better than some people from our view that serve in some more noble purpose? You might feel like you're more talented or you're smarter or you're whatever more than they are. But here's the thing that you're fighting. Here's the thing that we will fight. You can't fight calling. And you can't fight anointing. Because God gives those things to whoever He wants. He raises up leaders. Sorry He didn't ask your opinion. Listen, if it was based upon the opinion of people, none of us would ever be called or anointed. Because you're always going to find a group of people or somebody who doesn't care for somebody, whether their motive is corrupt because they want it or whether they've got an accurate view or whatever it is. And it's not just within the church. These good ideas that we can sometimes have, even in our own personal life, that God says no. Or no, not now. Or no, ever. How do we respond to that in our heart and life? Here's the reality. Hopefully all of us understand that we are called to noble purposes and we are also called to common use. I'll just tell you this. In some ways I look at pastoring as a very noble purpose. In fact, it's written in the book of Timothy that if you desire to be an overseer, you desire a noble task. It doesn't mean because you desire it that you're going to be one. And there are some who aren't looking to be one, and they are the ones that get called sometimes. But here's the other part. And please, I'm just using myself as an example here. Okay? And it's not a, you know, pat me on the shoulder thing. But I also do common use stuff. Like setting up tables and chairs when nobody's here. In another room. And I have people sometimes who see that around me and go, can't we get someone else to do this? I'm never sure how to take that. As if I'm not smart enough to do this, or I'm not doing a good job, or if it's just out of concern for me physically because I'm old and out of shape, or... And they don't want liability here at the church. Quick, drag him into the street. Okay, he's off the property. You know. Or if it's, you're the pastor, why are you doing this? You see, we all have, and for the person who maybe does that for a profession who doesn't feel like it's real noble, well, let me ask you, sir, are you a husband? Are you a father? Ma'am? You don't feel like it's a real noble purpose being maybe a cashier or wait on tables? Are you a mom? Are you a wife? Are you a grandma? Are you a friend to somebody? You see, those are noble purposes. We have to understand that we need to embrace all of the things that God calls us to. It's beautiful about humanity that we can be called to a noble purpose and common use, all within the same person. But we don't look at being a husband or a wife as a noble purpose. No, it's just this relationship and blah, blah, blah. And of course, our society is going contrary to that whole idea. Not just an idea, it's what God instituted. And so we don't even look at the noble things we are called to and recognize them because our eye is on what we can't have and what we want or what we're being told no to. Understand that God can work through saved and unsaved humanity to make our steps sure in His plan and purpose. And because of the Lord's progressive work in our life, sometimes no is an acceptable answer for a season. Trust me. When I first left university, you probably wouldn't have wanted me to come here and be your senior pastor. Some of you don't like it now. I don't know. Just imagine how bad it was then. I may have not worn ripped jeans. I may have just worn cutoffs. So, you know, be grateful for the growth in my life. We are. Thanks, John. You and I, it's okay to have a plan, and it's okay to have a desire, and it is okay to pray about it or feel like there was some spiritual thing that took place in our life that we can say this is God's will and I'm supposed to do this good idea and, you know. But I'll tell you when the good idea or the fruitful idea or the great idea becomes problematic for you and I. It is when it begins to rob us of the person we should be when we're told no. That we don't have the character and virtue. Listen, I want to tell you this. If you throw yourself out there and ask somebody's opinion to agree with your good idea or your qualifications or whatever it is, you have to understand that when you put yourself to that point and want to open your ears to somebody else's assessment, that you have to be prepared enough that their answer might be no or that they don't think it's a good idea. Now, it doesn't make them right, necessarily, but if you're going to walk away offended and hurt and, you know, crab about it and complain about it and have resentment and break a relationship that you had with them, then, you know, maybe we should have used wisdom before that and said, you know what? I don't really want to be told no, and I'm not sure I can handle it, so therefore, I shouldn't be asking them. So how am I doing as a husband for you? Don't ask if you can't handle the answer. Don't ask if you're going to get all mad or explain away why they think you're maybe could do a little better job at it. Or all right away turn the table and say, oh yeah, well, let me tell you what kind of wife you are. Wait a minute, they didn't even ask. You see, whatever the relationship or whatever you put out there, or I got this good idea or great idea and I think it can be fruitful, what do you think? Come on! I think it's an okay idea, and I can see where there'd be good in it, but it's your idea, but maybe God hasn't called you to lead that. Maybe He's raised you up to just have the idea and to be a part of the team. That was my idea. Really? God didn't give you the idea? You were just had the privilege and the noble purpose of maybe sharing it with someone who could lead it, or a team of people that could lead it better than you? I don't know. We get problems with this. It shows corruption in us. It shows lack of character. Which once again proves that maybe we're not the one to do this thing that we call noble from our perspective. And by the way, some of your noble purposes and my noble purposes are really, like to a lot of other people, common use stuff because they're doing really noble things. See how it's all relative to us? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, we should say, if the Lord wills, then we will live and do this and do that. So what it's saying is, if that's not the Lord's will, then I guess I'll be living and doing something different. And I can't wait to see what that is. And if it's common purpose, I'm supposed to lay my hands to it and do it as hard as I can under the Lord. Because I will be brought into account for my attitude and how I did it unto Him. I mean, I was grateful for Sharon Anderson to catch me here at the church on Friday, after I had the tables and chairs set up for her meeting. She said, oh, looks great. That's perfect. Thanks. I mean, that was real nice. And I did it for them, but I did it unto the Lord. Did it for Him. Stupid ladies group doing it on a table and stupid chairs and get down and throw that one over here. And these are leaning and I got to fight to get them out of the closet because the youth and children's ministry put all stuff on the floor in the way. And I run. You're doing a great job, aren't you, Randy? See? Those are the moments of our life, whether we're building a noble character or not. And I will confess to you that there has been times in my life where I'm kicking something across the garage floor that was left by someone else that was in my way, and I wasn't doing a great job. How about we put noble character as a higher priority than noble purpose? How do you respond when God says no?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.